Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with our pre-opening commodity market report. Senior Chinese agricultural officials say today that China is likely to import more soybeans and corn in the future to meet rising domestic demand, although they still would like to see a target of domestically produced corn and soybeans of at least 90% of the grains it consumes. China will end its stockpiling system this year for cotton and soybeans in some regions and instead adopt target prices on a trial basis as a policy to control domestic prices and protect farmers. Last year, the nation imported over 90 million metric tons of grains and oilseeds, including more than 63 million tons of soybeans. Union Pacific is reporting a 13% jump in fourth quarter profit as strong grain, automotive, and industrial shipments offset a 10% drop in loads of coal. The Omaha, Nebraska Railroad earned $1.2 billion in net income, or $2.55 a share, in the last 3 months of 2013. That's up from last year's $1 billion net income, or $2.19 a share. Cargill will pay $2.2 million to settle hiring discrimination charges by the U.S. Department of Labor, which alleged the agribusiness giant's meat processing unit unfairly rejected applicants based on race and gender. Cargill agreed to pay back wages to nearly 3,000 job applicants and offer about 350 new jobs to them as positions became available. Representatives of Cargill had no immediate comment. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,170. It's down 147 points. The NASDAQ 3596 is down 24. The S&P 500 1824 is down 14 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Bitter cold temperatures occurred again this morning across a large part of the Midwest. We're going to continue in this cold weather pattern for another 5 to 7 days, but there is hope on the horizon that changes will come as we move into the first week of February. Temperatures this morning were in the single digits, both positive and negative, across the Midwest. Most of the temperatures this morning were in the positive single-digit readings, but there were a number of readings below zero that did occur across portions of northern and central Illinois, northern Missouri, most of Iowa, northern and central portions of Indiana, and areas northward to the Canada border. Temperatures were as cold as the negative teens and negative 20s across the upper Midwest, with some locations in northern Minnesota dropping down near and slightly below minus 30. The temperatures are certainly occurring in a time when our winter crops would be vulnerable to some kind of damage, but because of the snow that's on the ground, there should not be any issue across the majority of the region. Now, further to the west, in Nebraska and Kansas, temperatures did get down to the positive and negative single-digit readings this morning, and there is no snow on the ground in those locations, and there may be a little bit of winter kill that may occur across some of that region. It looks like the temperatures are mostly borderline for damage, and we'll continue to monitor that when we get into the spring greening days and see how much of the crop will come back around after all the cold weather that has occurred this winter. Well, the precipitation prospects across the Midwest will continue as they have been. We'll see frequent bouts of light snow moving from northwest to southeast across the majority of the region over the next full week. And the precipitation that occurs will be mostly light, but occasionally we'll see some moderate amounts of snow, especially downwind from Lake Michigan, and also in association with a cold air mass that comes through the upper parts of the Midwest as we go from Friday into Saturday. That particular snow event could produce anywhere from a dusting to 2 inches in general, but some 3 to 4 inch amounts may occur in a small portion of Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan as we get into the day, or actually Friday night into Saturday morning. There'll be a narrow band of precipitation that will follow that, and that will occur probably Saturday night into Sunday morning across the Dakotas into portions of northern Indiana and northern Ohio. That, too, could produce a dusting to 2 inches with some local 3-inch-plus amounts of snowfall. After that system goes by, a change in the upper atmosphere will take place, but only after bitter cold air settles into the region one last time. Temperatures well below zero will occur across big part of the Midwest as we get into the early to middle part of next week. It'll be downright nasty out there, but as we go through the second part of next week and into the second weekend of the two-week outlook, warmer weather will work its way across a big part of North America. The upper air flow pattern will change from moving air masses from the Arctic down into the eastern and central parts of the U.S. to a pattern that will bring storm systems from west to east across the country. This new pattern will bring in milder temperatures and offer a chance for some periodic precipitation across the region, which will help to assure that we don't see any more extreme temperatures for a little while. The unfortunate part of the pattern is that we'll probably see an increase in snowfall across some areas in the region. In the meantime, down in South America today, the forecast continues to bring on more rain to Argentina, and we'll likely see a further improvement in crops across much of that region. Central and northern portions of Argentina will see widespread rain into Friday, and then some drier weather will occur for a little while over the weekend, and some follow-up precipitation will occur next week. All of this will add up to a much improved outlook for some of its summer crops, although the southwest will probably stay a little bit too dry. And in Brazil, well-timed rain and sunshine periods will occur all the way through the end of this month and into the first week of February. The bottom line will preserve the huge crop that's likely to come out of that country. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 635, up 13. July, 629 and a quarter, up 12 and three quarters. Soft May wheat, 579 and a quarter, up 11 and a quarter. July, 584 and three quarters, up 10 and three quarters. March corn, 428 and three quarters, up 2.5. July, 440 and a quarter, up 1.25. December, 449, up 1.5. March soybeans, 1288 and three quarters, up 9.25. July, 1262, up 9.75. November, 1115 and three quarters, up 2.75. March soybean meal, 423.20, up 380. March soybean oil, 3810, up 26. February live cattle, 143.05, down 62.5. January feeders, 170, 12.5, down 35. February lean hogs, 85.45, down 10. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. She is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
No export sales until tomorrow because of Martin Luther King Jr. holiday on Monday. The outside market's lower, particularly on Wall Street, but it looks like commodities are ignoring outside factors at the moment.
I think right now we're trading this surprise break in the dollar. It was down considerably this morning, and nobody has a whole lot of rationale why, other than it's weaker, and so is the Canadian dollar as well. We still have pretty low volatility and small ranges. We've got about a 4-cent range going on in the nearby corn. Couldn't get above 430 in March corn this morning. That's a little troublesome, but we did find awfully good support right down around the 20-day moving average. I think we've seen pretty good commercial interest in the corn this week. With a weaker dollar, I would think that could continue. Crude oil, too, above $97 a barrel.
Yeah, the dollar made a significant move downward today, a high 81.30, low 80.59, currently trading at, it looks like, 80.65, right on the 50-day moving average, 100-day moving average, just a penny or two below that.
Right. And that's just a huge move, particularly coming just all at once.
So it looks like we're out of the well and maybe have seen the lows for the week.
We may have the lows in for the week. I think we'll just kind of fiddle around, continue to see 430 as resistance and probably 425 or 4 as support now.
And in the soy chart, we've given away a lot this week thus far.
We have given away a lot. Beans were following corn this morning earlier, and really don't seem to have much of a life of their own, but particularly we'd seen a lot of buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat. Those look to be unwound. A big move up in the wheat market this morning, and I think it's very dollar-related. I want to be kind of cautious on the bean side. Everybody's looking for cancellation of bean buys on tomorrow's export bookings report. But also next Friday is the beginning of the Chinese New Year holiday, and that lasts a full week.
Yeah, the Lunar New Year coming to us very soon. Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 428.5, up 2.25. July, 440.5, up 1.5. December, 449, up 1.5. March soybeans, 1289.5, up 10. July, 1262.25, up 10. November, 1115.75, up 2.75. March soybean meal, 423.30, up 390. March soybean oil, 38.14, up 30 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.